Science Magazine of the Air brings you another chapter from The Human Adventure. Our story is the story of a man who was a scientist and artist. Today we tell you the dramatic story of a modern man who lived centuries ago. The man is Leonardo da Vinci. Most of us think of Leonardo da Vinci as an artist. We've all seen copies of his great picture, The Last Supper. That picture was painted long ago in 1496 on the wall of a room in a convent in Milan. And yet today, a copy of this picture hangs in many of our homes. It is not only the story of Leonardo the artist that we're interested in. It's the story of Leonardo the artist and scientist that we bring you.
Leonardo da Vinci was a modern man, though he lived some 500 years ago. Why do we say that? Listen. This is the sound of a human heart, the pump that circulates living blood through your body. In 1698, William Harvey of England's College of Physicians announced,
"The blood is not stagnant, as is generally believed. My studies of men and animals prove that the blood circulates."
The blood circulates. That was a step toward the modern world. But 150 years before Harvey, Leonardo da Vinci said,
"The blood that enters the heart is not the same as that which leaves."
Now, listener, you who are a modern man, think of the daylight and the sun that shines. You know that the earth moves and that the sun does not move. But in 1600, this is what happened to a man by the name of Giordano Bruno who believed that.
Giordano Bruno, do you recant?
Will my denial destroy the fact?
Do you recant?
No. Copernicus was right. The earth and all the planets revolve around the sun.
Light the faggots. Let the sin be cleansed by fire.
I say it again. The sun does not move. The sun does not move.
That is a fact that no flames can destroy. A fact that helped open the door to the modern world. But long before Copernicus or Bruno...
This I write in large letters. The sun does not move.
Write his name, too, in large letters. Leonardo da Vinci. Fully to understand nature and the laws of nature is one definition of what makes ours a modern age. Science rests upon a knowledge of universal laws. Take one of those laws.
Sure, you can't repeal the law of gravity.
All right, mister. Good gag. But thousands of generations of men lived before Isaac Newton, almost 300 years ago, said,
"The same mysterious force controls the fall of a stone from a cliff, of an apple from a tree, of a falling star in the heavens. The force of gravitation is universal."
But 200 years before Newton discovered the law of gravity, Leonardo da Vinci said,
"Every weight seeks to fall to the center of the earth by the most direct way."
A machine gun spits across a field. Modern? Yes. But da Vinci built a primitive kind of machine gun in the 15th century.
All hatches closed. Take her down.
A modern submarine slides under the sea. But almost 500 years ago, da Vinci built a submarine. And what he did with it, you'll hear before the half hour is gone.
993. Flight 93, coming in. Go ahead.
All clear, 93. Come in left field.
A modern airplane wings through the clouds and comes in for a landing. But at the time Columbus discovered America, Leonardo da Vinci was experimenting with a device he had built designed to make man fly. Leonardo da Vinci, born in 1452, citizen of the universe, and the first modern man. The world moves slowly, and most men are content to move with the slow current of their times. But there are other men impatient with the myths and legends of their generation, who probe for knowledge destined for the future. They are strangers in a time not their own. Leonardo da Vinci was such a man. The story of his life is the story of a quest. The quest began and ended with a bird. And Leonardo knew this, for he said,
I remember when I was a child in the cradle, great bird swooped down and with its tail struck 3 times on my lips. Wings covered the sky, and I've never forgotten. Never forgotten.
Who can name the day when Leonardo first thought that man might fly? Perhaps it was the day he visited the marketplace.
Berry, berry, ripe, juicy berry. Birds for sale. Who'll buy a bird? A singing bird, a silent bird. Thrush and lark, dove and magpie. Who'll buy a bird? Who'll buy...
Hey, what are you doing? Don't open the cages. My birds, they'll fly away.
I'll pay you. I'll pay you to let them go. Birds should not be caged. Birds should be free.
The birds flew free, and often Leonardo followed them through the fields where he lay for hours watching their beams soaring wings.
Master. Master.
Said Francesco.
It is late. We should be going home.
In a little while. Look, Francesco. How the sparrow flies upward in a straight line, while the hawk rises in slow spiral.
I see, Master. But come, it is getting dark.
And the lark. Body seems hardly strong enough to both the wings. Yet it flies, Francesco. It flies.
It is the nature of birds to fly.
And it is the nature of man to ask questions. How does a bird fly? By what means does its wings sustain it in the air? I must know, Francesco. I will know. And then man will fly.
Man will fly. But before action, there must be knowledge. Leonardo studied the flight of birds and the structure of a bird's body, and the anatomy of man, since it was man who was to fly.
There. Muscle is cut. Now the membrane. Here, hold the knife, Francesco, while I draw the connection of the inner organ.
And he studied the air, whose winds and currents must support the flyer.
Throw more wet grass on the fire, Francesco, to make the smoke thicker.
The smoke is thick enough, Master.
Smoke follows the currents of the air. Here the air moves upward, Francesco. A bird could soar without moving its wings. She constructed like a bird, could soar.
To Leonardo, the air was an invisible sea. Could he learn about the air by studying the rivers and the oceans? He chose to try. But when he concentrated on the new search, his eager mind turned to 100 new things.
But the birds, Master. We came to observe the birds.
Stay awake, Francesco. I want to see these shells. Shells turn to stone. Oysters, snails, cuttlefish.
Shells? Here on top of Monte Mario? It cannot be.
They're here, Francesco. Don't argue with nature.
But oysters cannot climb mountains.
Then this mountain must once have been beneath the sea.
Leonardo's observations on fossils, the bodies of ancient animals now turned to stone, were observations vital to the study of archaeology. And he made other observations that added to the knowledge of anatomy and medicine.
So, Domenico, you don't like the way I paint a man's arm.
It's all wrong, Leonardo. It's against tradition.
I'm not concerned with tradition. I paint nature. Man's arm is not only skin, but muscle and bone as well. Can't be seen, but they must be felt in the painting.
What do you know about bones and muscles, Leonardo? You're not a surgeon.
I know what I've seen. I've dissected an arm and studied the arrangement of muscles and tendons.
You have dissected an arm? But that's against the law, Leonardo. Dissection is a crime against nature.
Is it? Isn't it a crime to close one's eyes and mind, to refuse to learn from nature? Isn't that the greatest crime?
Leonardo's golden hair reached to his shoulders. He wore a rose-colored cloak, and his speech was the language of Renaissance Italy. But he was a modern man, for his way of thinking was not the way of the 15th century. Hundreds of years before the birth of the modern world, Leonardo da Vinci was a modern scientist. But it was not safe to be a modern man in the 15th century.
It has come to our notice, Leonardo, that you lean toward, shall I say, unorthodox belief.
Perhaps it would be simpler to say what you mean.
You know what I mean, Leonardo. Your ideas about man's taking to the air like a bird and flying.
Is that a dangerous belief?
The authorities say it is. Heed the warning.
I have asked a question of nature, and I will continue to search for the answer.
Leonardo da Vinci had the mind of a scientist. He would search endlessly for the right answer. But Leonardo had also the genius of one of the world's greatest artists. In the year 1496, the monks of St. Maria della Grazia commissioned him to paint The Last Supper, a work which today is among the finest paintings of all history. Leonardo painted with much thought, solving the problems of art as he did those of science. Therefore, he painted slowly, and the monks grew impatient. Finally, the prior complained to the Duke of Milan.
You must do something, Excellency. It is almost a year, and what is there to show for it? I should have chosen Rosselli, or even Belinchone.
You are the prior? Why didn't you fight?
Because Leonardo is a great artist. And the others...
Ah! Then you must have been.
I have the patience of a saint! Forgive me, Excellency. I am a patient man. But listen. Sometimes Leonardo stands before the painting for hours, without even lifting his brush. Other days he comes for 5 minutes and then disappears. Now we haven't seen him for a week. Where is he? Where is Leonardo?
Right here, the eyes of the...
There, you see, Excellency?
Leonardo, the fire was telling me...
I can guess what he was saying.
Well, don't concern yourself. I'm sure he exaggerates.
No, what he says is true. But painting is not like building a wall. It's a matter of placing one stone on another until the wall is finished.
But even a painting must sometime be finished.
My painting of The Last Supper will be finished when I find a model for the figure of Judas. Search the wheat, in the market, in the fields, in the taverns, and with us.
Why are you staring at me, Leonardo?
Mm-hmm. Wind, 50 eyes. Withering chin.
Leonardo, you don't see.
Yes, you're right. The prior.
Leonardo could see a Judas in the face of a prior, but he could also find good in dissolute features. Though he looked at men with a painter's eyes, his mind was that of a scientist. The dancing dust, the turn of a wrist, the curl of a lip. These things Leonardo studied. But the quest for flight was not forgotten.
Master. Master, I was worried. You were not at the monastery. Your brushes were untouched.
There was no need to worry, Francesco. I've been here all day.
But what are you doing? And what is this? Like a wooden bird with wings of silk.
It's a flying machine. Levers and pulleys move the wings.
A flying machine? Does it fly, Master?
No, Francesco. But perhaps the next one will.
Another flying machine, Master?
Yes, Francesco.
And does it fly?
No, but I'll build another. No, not this one either.
Why don't you stop, Master? When will you be convinced that man cannot fly?
Never. Man will fly, Francesco. Man will fly.
Leonardo built models that failed to fly and asked endless questions of nature. But remember, this was the 15th and a violent century, seething with intrigue and war, and Leonardo was caught up in its turbulence. As architect and engineer, he served Ludovico Sforza, who was called Il Moro. And then he served Louis XII, King of France, conqueror of Milan. And later still, for a brief period, he held a post with the tyrant Caesar Borgia.
You understand, Leonardo? I'm not a patron of the arts. I'm a practical man.
Yes, I understand. The Borgias are known for their practicality.
A man must live, Leonardo. Now, as my engineer in chief, your duty is doing a campaign.
A campaign? But you're not at war.
Not yet, Leonardo. But I will be.
Sire, the enemy is retreating in boats across the river.
After them, fool. Don't let them escape.
But we can't pursue. We have no boats.
Quiet, all of you. Leonardo.
I'm here, Borgia.
Can you get my army across the river?
Of course, I'll build you a bridge.
You talk like an artist, not an engineer. I want it now, this moment, immediately.
And I'll build the bridge immediately.
On my oath, I believe you will. Lieutenant, take a squad of men and follow Leonardo's orders.
Lieutenant, you men, collect all the goatskin wine bottles in the camp and empty the wine from them.
What a shame.
Then, Lieutenant, have your men blow the wineskins up with air.
Empty them and blow, you windy mongrels. Fill the skins with your worthless breath.
There will be your bridge, Borgia.
Blown up wineskins.
Lash wooden planks to the skins after they're inflated and push your bridge across the water.
We're marching across the bridge. We'll catch them all, Leonardo. We'll win this battle. Your bridge. Ah, Leonardo, you should be proud of what we did today.
Proud? Because men were killed?
Come now, Leonardo. There are some who say, and I mention it with modesty, that I am engaged in a great work. What are a few paltry lives in comparison?
No living thing is unimportant. And it is an infinitely atrocious act to take away the life of any man.
But, Leonardo, would you deprive humanity of the glorious stimulation of war?
I've seen war, Caesar Borgia. I've seen it with the eyes of a painter. The concentrated fury of the conquerors. The pale faces of the conquered. The skin above their brows filled with lines of pain. The awfulness of mutilation. The agony of death. I've seen war, and it is not glory. It is bestial frenzy.
This was Leonardo. While Columbus tossed on the stormy Atlantic in his fragile high-decked sailing ships, Leonardo designed 20th-century weapons, the pontoon bridge, a rudimentary armored tank, an embryo machine gun, explosive mines, improved cannon. Some were built while others remained only drawings on paper. But he hated war, and this was a contradiction the people of his time could not understand. Still less would they have understood if they knew of another invention he made.
Listen, Francesco. I've told this to no one else.
Yes, Leonardo?
I have made a kind of boat by which many men may remain underwater for as long as they can go without food.
Underwater?
But do you realize what a weapon it would be? The ocean itself, a shield and cover for insidious attack? There are too many evil men, and so I shall destroy all my records.
Leonardo designed a submarine and then destroyed the drawings. His people could not understand Leonardo. And can we understand, we who see him through the magnifying glass of almost five centuries? We can say that the edge of his mind drove him to experiences from which his soul turned in revulsion. Or we can say he had the will of a scientist to learn and experiment at all costs. But having said it, do we understand? Only this is clear. Leonardo was not understood by his own people, and he was a stranger in his native Florence, in Milan, in Rome, in all the cities in which he lived his long life. Therefore, Leonardo's quest for flight took on new meaning, for flight means also fleeing. He fled to the world within him to pour out on canvas in forms and colors the thoughts and fancies he would not speak. He accepted a commission to paint a portrait.
Then it is agreed, Leonardo?
Now you will sit here on this bench and look.
No.
Del Giocanda. Huh? What's that?
I will paint the portrait of your wife as I think proper. Perhaps you should ask another painter.
No. Have it as you wish. Only Leonardo can paint Madonna Lisa del Giocanda.
The portrait of Madonna Lisa del Giocanda, known to history as the Mona Lisa, Probably the best-known portrait, if not the best-known painting in the world.
Your face is serene, Lisa, and reposeful. Is it because your soul is calm? No, don't answer, Lisa. Let me talk as I paint. There is a secret smile behind the lips, not yet come to the surface. Now you're smiling. Tiny beginning of a smile. Did the music evoke a memory or a wish? What are your secret thoughts?
Yesterday is another world, and yesterday's love and sorrow are yellowed leaves of fallen trees in the garden of tomorrow.
Smile your secret smile, Lisa. Finished, Lisa. Come and see it. Well?
Is it a portrait of me, Leonardo?
Of you, Lisa. But all women may see themselves in it. You like it?
I? What does it matter? But Leonardo?
Yes?
My husband will not like it.
It's unquestionably a great work of art, Leonardo, but...
But, Signor Del Giocondo?
Oh, don't misunderstand me, Leonardo, but when I look at your painting, I'm frightened of my Mona Lisa.
Was there meaning for Leonardo in the hidden smile of the Mona Lisa? A painted smile that has fascinated other artists for four centuries. Perhaps it was a smile of gentle mockery on lips that asked...
Is your dream ended, Leonardo? Have you descended from the sky to the solid earth to live an earthbound life? Like all men?
If the question were asked, the answer was no, for when the painting was finished, and even before, Leonardo returned to the quest, to the endless dream of flight.
Wings of fabric and muscles of metal! Well, this machine is a gigantic bird, Leonardo!
And tomorrow we will fly from the top of the mountain called the Swan. Here is a riddle for you, Francesco. The great bird will take its first flight upon the back of the great swan.
I will fly it, Leonardo.
No, Francesco. There is danger. The risk could be mine.
Then say that I insist on a share in the glory. I will fly.
Buster! Buster Leonardo! I didn't tell them where you are.
What is it? Tell whom?
They came from the Signoria. You are wanted in the council hall.
Leonardo, they mean to stop the trial of the flying machine, the flight of the great bird.
They can't stop it, Francesco.
But they will threaten you.
The great bird will fly. Is that all, gentlemen?
You must not make the trial, Leonardo.
And if I do...
You have been warned, Leonardo.
I return the warning with a notice. The great bird will fly. The metal springs that move the wings are tightly wound, Francesco. You know how to turn the cartwheel to adjust the tension?
Yes, I know, Leonardo. Hurry, they will be here soon.
And how to steer by means of the rudder?
I know that too, but hurry.
And remember to take advantage of currents in the air.
Leonardo, if the machine is capable of flight, then I will fly it. They are coming. Cut the ropes.
The great bird will fly, Francesco. It will fly. Francesco, are you hurt?
No, Leonardo. I have failed you.
It wasn't you. There was an error in my calculation. Fine.
What will you do now, Leonardo?
Do? I'll build another flying machine. Another great bird.
Another? For 20 years you've built flying machines. And there have always been errors. They've all been failures. Is there no bitterness in you, Leonardo?
I have wished to work miracles. And if I have failed, shall I complain?
When a man as great as Leonardo da Vinci thinks that he has failed, his failures are seen by lesser men to be miracles. Leonardo did not fail to design a flying machine. Sir Henry Clark, in a Ryerson lecture at Yale University, said that Leonardo's approach to the problem of flight may yet prove to be the right one. And aeronautical engineers have argued that if Leonardo had had an engine with sufficient power, the 15th century might well have been the beginning of an age of flight. But that is a detail. Leonardo was remarkable, primarily because he symbolized in himself all that is science. He observed, theorized, and applied. He was at home in the abstract and in the practical. To Leonardo da Vinci, first great experimentalist in aviation, builder of bridges and designer of irrigation projects, founder of the science of hydraulics, student of archaeology, expert in meteorology, master with a scalpel and an authority on anatomy, inventor of numerous devices a 500,000 years before modern times, and greatest of the world's painters, to Leonardo da Vinci, to live, to learn, to experiment. That was the human adventure.
You have been listening to the story of Leonardo da Vinci. Da Vinci's attitude of mind can best be described as open. He believed that many things could be known and achieved in the late 15th century. He did not accept without question. No, he was not a skeptic, but rather an intelligent man who would rather investigate the fact than adopt the prevailing opinion. Leonardo's method of work is the method of every true scientist: to observe, to record, to experiment, and then to repeat the process. His faith in this method makes him a modern man. Science Magazine of the Air. And this is the Armed Forces Radio Service.